It's your time. Do it.
And pop culture. It's where you find it.
Righteous Kill.
Mercy sakes, you put about 8.5 on me. Blowing the windows down. Bring it on.
I'll be within earshot. You keep it wound up to around 90. Get more.
Hey, Bandit, me and Fred's got a question.
What do you and Fred want?
How come we doing this?
Well, why not?
Well, they said it couldn't be done.
Well, that's the reason, son.
That's good with Fred. We're clear.
And four.
Westbound and down, 18 wheels are rolling. Are we going to do what they say can't be done? Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. So the boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana, and we'll bring it back no matter what it takes. Westbound and down, 18 wheels are rolling. We're gonna do what they say can't be done. We've got a long way to go, and a short time to get there. I'm westbound, just watch old Bandit run.
Say, old lady. Where's Philo Benham?
How the hell do I know? Get off my porch with that thing. Get off my property.
You're not very hospitable.
Hospitable, my ass. Get off my porch.
Very well, you insist.
Well, put down that gun now.
No.
I'm warning you, lady. Put down that gun now.
First the police. I told those boys not to leave a vulnerable old lady all alone. Hospitable. Oh, shit!
Waka waka!
Hey, everyone! We're here! It's Friday. Nowhere Mulberry's back. Episode 136. Hey, woohoo! It's also our 3-year anniversary, pretty much, to the day, September 5th, right?
Yes.
3 years of Nowhere in Mulberry for you guys, you people who listen to our show. We're doing it for you, man. We're doing it for you.
Yeah, where's our money?
yeah, as long as we don't think about stuff like that, we're okay. No, but seriously. Thanks to everyone who has spent time listening to our show, downloading it, you know, getting excited about it. It's so cool to read people say, you
missing
know, how much
us.
They, yeah, missing us. I mean, wow. You never thought when we first started the show, there was so much doubt, you know, when you're, should we do this? I don't
well,
know.
Well, you were like, you know, if we get 20 people listening, I'll be happy.
Yeah. But seriously, it's really cool that people dig the show and we keep on doing it. We know that someone is waiting for it. That is the exciting thing. And to do that for 3 years is pretty awesome. I mean, I know there's times where we're like, wow, we're not getting any feedback.
Well, I think we're
maybe
close to the 20
listeners.
You know?
Yeah, I think we've got about 18 right now. I think if we go a little bit longer, Bill, we're going to get those two more people.
It's just a matter of time. We have to be patient.
Yeah, we got to be patient.
We got to advertise or something.
I remember those things like people would say like in podcasting forums, for every one email you get, that represents 100 people listening. It's like, who made that up?
That's so positive and delusional.
That's very delusional.
Very delusional.
Wow, I got an email. 100 people are listening. So if I got like 3 emails this week, 300 people.
I'd love to meet the person who came up with that number.
Is that their own? That's their own version of podcast Nielsen ratings.
Yeah, that's podcast rules. You know, you can't go over 30 minutes.
And, one email is 100 people.
PodSafe music.
Yeah, PodSafe music is the only way to go. But seriously, it's so awesome that we've made it this far. I mean, it doesn't feel like an achievement or anything. We're just cranking out episodes, you know, every week. But it is cool that it's reached a 3-year mark. That's just pretty cool. Saying, "Oh, we've been doing it for 3 years." Yeah, yeah. And I would never want to go back to that like episode, you know, where you have to start from scratch with a new show. I couldn't do that. Ugh. I mean, to have built up a library is really cool.
Yeah.
Of shows. Every once in a while, we'll hear from someone saying, hey, I've gone back and listened to all your shows. And it's like, huh?
Yeah, we've had a couple of those lately.
That's pretty cool. But, man, that's a long time ago. Like, if you go back to season one of Nowhere in Mulberry, we're talking about some pretty old shows there.
Pretty bad.
But there was always fun. There was one.
But, I mean, there's hidden jokes throughout that we've carried on throughout. I mean, not.
Well,
hidden,
I wouldn't
not,
call them hidden jokes.
I'm not, no, I mean they're just
inside jokes,
inside or repeated jokes from back when. Unless you've listened to us from the beginning, you may not get some of it.
Every once in a while, I'll.
And one of them we don't even have to reference. It's just there every week with you, Steven.
Yes.
Every once in a while, I'll throw in like an old show and listen to it as I'm going to bed, just to like, just to remember
to lull yourself to sleep,
just to remember old stuff. And I was giggling the other night, and my wife was like, "What was that sound?" And I was like, "What are you talking about?" She's like, "I was like, oh, I was trying to sneeze." She was like, "Were you giggling?" I was like,
"Yeah."
No.
There's a robber downstairs. Call the police.
I was just giggling and trying to, you know, like, oh shit, that was too loud. And it was Bill making some kind of sound or something, talking about the movie, the nominees for the Golden Globes. It was just funny stuff. But anyway, it's really cool to do that. And I want to thank 3 listeners for their donations this week. Michael, Rob, and Carl all donated to the Nowhere in Mulberry cause this week, and I'd like to thank them.
That's a trio of terrific men.
Thank you very much.
One of them, I think, was last week, but we didn't do a show last week, so I couldn't thank them. And, you know, I've added...
They're paying us to be on vacation.
Yeah. No, but seriously, thank you so much for supporting the show. That means a lot. I'm going to add some more ringtones to anybody who's interested. I don't think I have lately.
We'll have maybe a foggy wallpaper for your phone or something.
Foggy doesn't take pictures well.
That's what I'm saying. It's
just gonna
be
a silhouette. Yeah.
Some reason there's always light behind it.
You know, we are going to add some stuff. You know, I know some people are like, is this all that's going to go on the download page? No. There will be some more stuff. Just be patient with this, people. Come on.
Some very special stuff.
Yeah. Really special, we think.
Buy my underwear at Kmart special.
Yeah.
Oh, shit!
Oh, my God.
God, I love that lady.
It was Ruth Gordon. I love her. She was great. She was great in
Harold and Maude?
The sequel also. Yeah, Harold and Maude. You know, the reason that was in the intro is I saw that Every Which Way But Loose came out on Blu-ray. What the
heck? I think Every Which Way You Can did, too.
Where's Bronco Billy, damn it?
I haven't picked them up, but you know I will be this week.
I love you, Bronco.
Those are two of my favorite movies ever.
Now, Bill, I wanted to talk to you a minute about something, and it's...
Righteous Kill.
Oh, good Lord.
Righteous Kill. Because we've been playing... You know, we haven't played Bad Company a lot, because there's been a lot of problems going online this week with EA, where either you get on the game and you're rubber banding so bad you can't even move...
Yep.
Or you just can't get online. But for a while, we did get on to play some death matches, and we're running around shooting the enemy like you're supposed to. And I swear, at the same time, we noticed, like, hey, did you just notice a movie poster?
Yeah.
It said Righteous Kill. It's Al Pacino, Bobby De Niro.
Bobby D.
Yeah, we're on, like, the end of a game. We came in near the end of this one game. We run down the ramp. From this base, and then all of a sudden we both went, did you see that? We were like, what, did you see the same thing I saw? And I was like, yeah, I think so. And it's this horrible billboard for Righteous Kill in the middle of a war zone.
I love that, Righteous Kill.
So funny.
So,
and then throughout the entire game, we kept going, man, that's a righteous kill.
And you're like, dude, I just wasted somebody. He blew like 20 feet back, and it's like, oh, dude, Righteous Kill. Yes, it's so awesome.
It's just, you know, a lot of games that we've played have in-game advertising, like Burnout Paradise is one. It's really well done. What's the other one? Crackdown has in-game advertising, too. But the fact that they put a Righteous Kill billboard up in the middle of a game that's about, taking crates or defending crates of gold.
Yeah.
It's just like, it just doesn't fit.
I'm just surprised that we notice it, honestly. You're running around and never standing still. It's just kind of like, glance over, like,
well, what?
It's just so blaringly obvious.
It's like, what is Robert De Niro's face doing on that picture over there?
Why is Bobby De Niro's mole staring at me?
Yeah,
you look at it.
It's like your face puts two, your eyes put two and two together. Your brain.
Yeah, it was a double take moment to the point where I went, I got to get a picture of this.
Righteous Kill.
So I put him up on the forum under, in-game advertising fails miserably or something.
That's awesome. But now we have a new thing to laugh about while we're playing. Dude, Righteous. What is that?
I wonder how
even
long
about?
Those will be up there.
I don't know. I guess until the movie
comes
out.
I don't think a lot of people realize is that all that stuff is updated pretty regularly because you go online and it, you know, sends a patch and it updates this stuff.
That's pretty genius, though, of them to sell advertising. They just need to get their servers working properly on that game.
Yeah, this week it was a pain in the ass. Like, that day that we found those, and we were playing pretty well for a while, and then we both dropped out because we got put on different teams for some reason, and then we couldn't reconnect, so we just played Legos.
Star Wars Legos, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is awesome, because then I get to drop all of my young Anakin dialogue while we're playing.
It's so funny. We're both, well, close to being too old to playing it, and we can't figure out parts.
I know.
It's so embarrassing. We spent like 20 minutes trying to figure out one part. And then it ended up being that I just had to jump and shoot something.
My name is Anakin, and I'm a person.
Person, yes. Luva Muvatafa.
I totally want that. Bill, you're breaking up on Skype. And usually this doesn't happen until the news. It's kind of weird. Maybe it's just all the people on Skype tonight.
Maybe.
7 million's a lot of people.
It's not that bad. I just...
All my life.
I just need to watch this. Maybe it's my my options on the servers. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if it gets any better. If it doesn't, maybe I'll reconnect.
All right. While you're doing that, we've got a couple of voicemails. One from the Mystery Man. Let's check it out.
Wow, 3 years, huh? Well, congratulations, folks.
Calling from the bathroom again.
I've been listening to you for almost 3 years, because I think I came in around episode 7 or something.
7, wow.
Anyway, keep up the great work, and I'll still be listening.
Thanks, Mystery
Thanks,
Man.
Mystery Man.
Right, did he drop the phone in the toilet bowl?
Wow, since episode 7, he's a long-time listener. Thanks, Mystery Man. I remember a long time ago, he started calling, and then Eugene got all upset that Mystery Man was like our new caller.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah, we haven't heard from Eugene in a while.
I know. We had a falling out, I guess.
Eugene and.
Well, after the lunchtime show, he became a prima donna.
No, you know what it was? Is we filled in for that one show on Talk Radio X.
And oh, he called God, in don't and, remind me.
He called in and argued with a gay guy. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Was it? What was that gay guy's name?
Justin, I think.
Gay guy? Gay he, Justin?
He was a gay. And,
he was a gay. He was a homosexual.
Yeah, he didn't like women. Or he might have liked them, he just didn't want to. He just was, you know, he's gay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, he argued with Eugene a bit, and that's the last time we heard from Eugene. Yeah, that's our gay drops. Thanks, Foggy. Now, we also got another voicemail from Rick. Rick from Fort Worth. Let's check it out. And, you know, Rick lives near me. Maybe we'll hang out one day. I'm going to be on his Amazing Comic Cast. I'm inviting myself, Rick. Because I remember the first time Rick ever called in. I don't know if you guys remember this. I have a steel trap up here, right? He said, maybe I could fill in on your show sometime. And we were like, oh, just invite yourself on the show. So I'm inviting myself on on Amazing Comic Cast.
That's good
he
stuff.
He does the Amazing Comic Cast. Let's hear from Rick.
Hey, guys. This is Rick from Fort Worth. Just wanted to give my 2 cents on the Shenmue. I actually had heard at one point it was supposed to be 20 parts.
Holy crap.
Long. It was supposed to be like this massive,
like the Journal of the Wills,
sprawling saga of 20 parts. And then when the first game crashed and burned so bad on Dreamcast, they only came out with part 2 on Xbox.
It's like Stephen King's Gunslinger series.
Let's face it, the Shenmue 1 was horrible. But yeah, that's pretty much it there. Also, I have to thank you guys very much because I went and picked up Space and watched every single episode.
Nice.
I am now addicted to Space. I'm going to have to go back and watch every episode with the commentary with the celebrities and what's going on there with the commentary because I heard some of those are just really entertaining. But otherwise, yeah, thank you guys so much for recommending it. I absolutely loved it. I was a fan of Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz, but I never expected to love Spaced as much as I did. And just really loved it. I really did. Otherwise, that's pretty much it. Hope you guys are doing good. The baby's doing fine. And yeah, that's it. Talk to you later. Bye.
That's awesome.
That is cool. I'm glad that he liked Spaced. I love Spaced myself, and I still want to do that special Spaced episode, Bill. And we will, if we wanted to. Oh, we've got a phone call. I'm sorry. If I sounded distracted, it's because someone's calling.
I wonder who it is.
Hello, you're on the air. Welcome to Nowhere Mulberry. Who is this?
Were you calling me, Jay?
What?
Were you calling me, Jay? I heard that crap.
No, not you,
you were
gay.
Calling, were you saying that I was gay or something?
No, I said you were having an argument with a homosexual on that show we did a long time ago.
I don't speak to homosexuals.
Well, you did that night, and he pretty much outwitted you at every turn, it seemed like.
Hello?
Well, how can a gay
I don't speak with gays, and I don't speak with you anymore.
Why is that? Was that your choice or my choice?
What?
What did we do to offend you?
Wait. Is this Freddy Falk's show?
Huh?
No.
Crap.
Is it what?
Freddy Falk show.
Hey, guys.
Whatever happened to Freddy Falk show?
I guess he's gone. Well, it was nice to hear from you, Eugene. Wow, that was great. Bill, do you have anything to say about that?
No.
On that note, let's go to entertainment.
Waka waka.
Oh, yeah. I'm a huge Fozzie Bear fan, and he's also a huge fan of
Righteous Kill.
Yeah. Righteous Kill.
Now, isn't that voice Don LaFontaine?
It's either that or Miguel Ferrar. He does all
no,
those.
No, play it. Play it.
Righteous Kill.
That's Don LaFontaine.
No,
he's dead.
No, I think that's Miguel Ferrar.
I don't know. It's too
Righteous deep. Kill.
Yeah, that's too deep for Miguel Ferrar.
No, I'm pretty sure that's him.
Righteous Kill.
Okay, whatever. I'm saying it's a dead man.
Oh, no. What happened to that guy? The guy who did all the In a World.
I think his head exploded.
What is that comedian dude who made his career off of that going to do?
Oh, no. Well, I guess he's going to do stuff from Miguel Ferrer.
Miguel Ferrar.
Isn't that guy George Clooney's cousin?
Yeah. Yeah, he is, actually. Oh, yeah. And he's Bob Morton from RoboCop. But seriously, folks, what movie came out today that is doing 7% on Rotten Tomatoes?
Newark Perilous.
Ah, yeah. Bangkok Dangerous. Awesome. With I guess Nicolas Cage tries to find a worse haircut every movie he does. Like,
no, that's not a haircut. He shaves his head. It's a helmet.
It's just like a hair helmet. Big.
Yeah,
it looks wow. What is the deal with that? Like,
they used the super glue that the guy with the hard hat on the steel beam used.
Remember the movie Next? His hair is so bad that movie's unwatchable. Now he's in.
He's all about his hair.
I watch it every time it comes on, and I can't do anything but stare at his hair because he yells comment.
It is bad. But I love that title, Bangkok Dangerous. I want to hear Miguel Ferrar say that. And that's a remake of a film because I noticed on Showtime they've been showing the original Bangkok Dangerous. I just love that.
It wasn't called Bangkok Dangerous, though.
What was it called?
Was it? No, it was. Yeah, it was. I guess it was.
Yeah, that's my
favorite. I've never seen it. I want to see the original.
You got to check it out, Bill. It's really awesome. And the sequel,
story of a deaf mute hitman and his partner.
Yeah, but you know, I wonder if like for the American version they're like, "Well, Nick Cage can't be mute, so let's go ahead and drop that. He can talk and hear and everything."
And he doesn't need a partner.
Yeah, no, he doesn't need a partner.
The partner's his hair.
Let's give him a talking wig.
We'll give him a
talking wig.
It's a raccoon, hair. A talking raccoon on his head.
But you know what? I want to talk about a movie I did see this week at Fry's Electronics recently. I noticed I walked in there, and they had the biggest bin, multiple bins of HD DVDs you'd ever seen. Just like thousands.
At
I mean,
rock bottom prices.
It doesn't look like they had that many on stock. It looked like they got shipped those. Like just a truckload.
Yeah, they're probably sitting in the
and
Fry's warehouse.
What that is?
Huh?
That's righteous.
That's righteous.
Oh, totally righteous. But the thing is, I doubt everyone who is looking through those, like, oh, Miami Vice for $3.99 and stuff. They have no idea the HD DVD is not going to work on their DVD players.
Well, didn't you say one guy asked you if it would work on his DVD player?
And I was actually glad he did because he had like a stack. And he was like, hey, do you know if these will work on my DVD player? And I was like, not unless it's an HD DVD player. And he goes, oh, I just have a regular DVD player. I said, no, it's not going to work at all. So he's like,
oh, because
okay.
You're a loser.
And so he set them all down. And it's like,
and then Jason picked them all up.
And then you went, oh, what'd you have there? Thank you.
But I went through it. Some of them are still marked like $11.99. Stay away from those. But I did get Zodiac, the director's cut, the David Fincher film, and I've never seen it. And since I'm really high on Robert Downey Jr., I know he was in it, and I wanted to see it. So I checked it out.
Oh, shit!
No, this is a completely true story, Ruth Gordon. So, I also bought some other things. What else did we get? Happy Gilmore, because they're so cheap. Bill, are you okay?
I'm sorry.
He loves Ruth Gordon.
That clip just cracks me. Stop it. He could have made me laugh through the whole show.
But have you guys seen Zodiac?
No.
The director's cut?
Yeah, it's a great movie.
I haven't seen the theatrical cut. And what's funny is it premiered the same night on Showtime.
That's so, your body.
But I'm glad that I got it because it really is a very interesting. It's almost like two movies. The first part is when the murders first happen, and later on when everyone just lost interest in it and stopped investigating it, and then the writers started investigating it. It's completely fascinating. It's got a great cast, and that hurdy-gurdy song is really creepy.
Oh, God. Yeah, I've always hated that. Well, not hated, but found that song creepy.
I need a hurdy-gurdy ringtone.
Well, I've danced when the hurdy-gurdy man came singing songs of love.
Well, I've thought about just going and buying the HD DVD player for the 360 because they're are offering those so cheap.
Yeah, they have $30 there, I believe.
They're good players, too.
And you know what? They have a lot of them, too. A shitload of them.
And then picking up movies.
The one thing I was pissed off about is they had three box sets of, what was it? The Discover's Planet Earth.
Planet Earth, yeah.
And I thought about getting it, but I was like, it's still, it's like $39.99. I probably should have gotten
it. It's a box set?
And I was like, I'm going to wait. And, of course, they were gone the next day, so.
Yeah, you should have picked it up.
Well, yeah, I've heard some people say, well, you need the Richard Attenborough narrated version, not the Sigourney Weaver. Which
I actually prefer the Sigourney Weaver version.
Yeah, I'm like, well, I'm getting for the HD imagery. I don't care who the hell's talking. I don't care.
Yeah, if I wanted the Richard Attenborough one, I'd just watch Jurassic Park.
Yeah, do I want Ripley or the guy who made Jurassic Park talking about
take
nature
Ripley.
Stuff?
I want Ripley.
Yeah, what do you say, Ruth Gordon?
Ah, shit!
She doesn't want to watch any of that. She just wants her Oreos.
I got to say, though, I was obsessed with the Zodiac Killer in my early years, my teen years. And I think the best book I ever read on that was This is the Zodiac Speaking by, what was that guy's name? It doesn't matter. Just look up This is the Zodiac Speaking. Really, really terrific book. Much better than the one the movie was based on.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, shit!
By Robert Graysmith. The Zodiac book by Robert Graysmith. I think that was the character in the movie, too. But
Yeah.
But the book This is the Zodiac Speaking, much better book.
Much better details.
More hard evidence and not as much dramatization.
The Gyllenhaal did a good job in that movie, I thought.
The Gyllenhaal was pretty good. But like you said, I think the standout was Roger Rabbit.
Was who?
Roger Rabbit.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Man. So anyway, I know everyone's like, dude, when the hell did Zodiac come out? He's just now watching it. I'm sorry, I'm just now watching it.
Hey, at least it's not a...
And after that, I watched Sneakers with Robert Redford on HD DVD. It is a great movie. I think they should remake that with the technology we have today, and instead of a Robert Redford cast, like,
I would say Chris Evans, but I think he's actually too good for that. After seeing him in Sunshine,
how about Robert Downey Jr.?
High on that Robert Downey, huh?
Yeah, Robert Downey Jr. and the black guy, Tay Diggs. Why not?
Oh, God.
He's the ex-CIA.
Who's the guy in Transformers? Tyrese Gibson.
Yeah, Tyrese Gibson. Yeah, what was the deal with that? He's always like, he's the same guy. But anyway, let's move on, Bill. Let's get into what's on our TiVo. What's on our TiVo? All right. We had a few shows premiere this week. Some new shows. But also the finale of The Middleman, which is pretty
aww.
Cool. God, please let it come back. I watched this new show called The Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, good Lord. I watched that today.
Bill, you don't give away anything. Remember, we're saving that segment for later. Is it called The Sons of Anarchy or Sons of Anarchy?
I think it's just called Sons of Anarchy.
Sons of Anarchy. And also, what else? 90210?
Yeah, the 90210. 2 hours worth.
Yeah, what the hell warranted a two-hour premiere of this show? I was telling Steven that. 2 hours? And the whole time in the corner of the screen it said, tomorrow, two-hour premiere of Top Model. 2 hours? They have nothing to show on the CW. Oh,
the first hour of the Top Model is going to be the tranny.
I'm going to say, and then the Fox was the clip show.
Oh, yeah.
Kitchen
we also have the premiere of Kitchen
God,
Nightmares.
That was terrible.
Okay, we're going to get into that late in a little bit. But first, who is Lily Allen? Some songwriter? Some English?
Yeah, she's the one that sang that Smile song.
That what song? You broke up.
Smile.
Smile.
Oh, okay. Smile.
Yes.
How does it go?
I'm not singing that shit.
Come on, Steven.
Yeah, sing it, Steven. You're the singer.
I'm the singer.
So she presented with Elton John on the GQ Awards. And apparently on this video, it's all, you won't be able to see her taking multiple sips of champagne.
She's a mess.
Yeah, and then finally Elton John has to make a comment because he can't take it anymore. And this is on Access Hollywood or Extra, one of those shows, so there's a lot of techno music in the background. Let's check it out.
Fighting words from Lily Allen, the British songstress was feeling no pain as she
sticks
her way through co-hosting the GQ Awards alongside Elton John.
Oh, wait, here we
go. Refilling her flute throughout the evening, even grabbing a glass during an acceptance speech. By the end, Elton was clearly exasperated as he unleashed a huge sigh.
Now, we reach a very special point in the evening.
Well, you can have another drink.
F*** off, Elton. You know what? I'm 40 years younger than you. I got my whole life ahead of me.
I can still snort you under the table.
What does that mean exactly?
Yeah, why would he ever even go there? You may be a boozer, but I can snort cocaine like you wouldn't believe.
I love her accent.
No, a snort is a drink.
Yeah, take a snort. But I love her accent.
He can out-drink
F
that.
F off, Elton. All those.
I'm 40 years younger than you.
Well, she sounds horribly drunk. That's what makes it so funny.
What the hell are the GQ Awards, anyway?
Isn't that where they go, that man's attractive?
Yeah, the most attractive man award. Oh, that's why they have Elton John presenting.
Come on.
I think.
Waka waka.
Isn't it sad how little Eugene had when he called? He waited that long to call and he had nothing. I mean,
well, you know,
nothing.
We mentioned his name and he was like, hey, I need to call.
It's and nice then pretended know. He was calling the Freddie Fork show.
I'd like to kill that guy.
Righteous kill.
It would be righteous, wouldn't it? Now, you know, one thing I got to tell you, I'm going to rant a little bit here, guys, because we know one thing that on Nowhere in Mulberry, in the 3-year span of listening to our show, you would never be able to tell who our president is or any of the political climate. And there's a reason for that, because I get so sick and tired of seeing that shit all the time. And of course, we have a presidential election coming up. And that's all we're going to hear about on TV. You know, the Today Show in the morning. I turn it on in the morning before I get my daughter up for school. All it is this political shit. I can't watch it anymore. I'm watching friggin' Emerald on
the
Planet Green Channel in the morning or something.
You know, with my travels and the meet, you know, and people start talking politics to me. And they say, well, the president's from Texas. I said, no, shut up. He's not.
But what I'm saying is we don't talk about that for a reason on the show because I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah,
but there's this new thing with McCain pick this chick, Sarah Palin, or whatever, Palin, and it's everywhere. This bitch is everywhere. That's all I see about it, you know?
The lady from
It's all
Alaska.
About, and her daughter's knocked up, and it's pregnant, and that's all I see
she
everywhere.
She likes to hunt caribou and snowmobile.
And she's a hockey mom, and all that stuff. And
the town,
the town that she's from in Alaska is where I worked, that Wasilla.
Oh, really? Well,
they had pictures of it on there. I was like, I've been there.
Well, what's funny is she wears those glasses, and Jon Stewart on The Daily Show kind of, you know, did a little thing. And I thought it was kind of funny, so this would be the one time we mention it. So,
well, this morning, Republican presidential candidate John McCain introduced the world to his third wife. Actually, no, wait, I'm sorry. That's his running mate, Sarah Palin, the freshman governor of Alaska, and star and producer of the Emmy-winning 30 Rock. Oh, I'm sorry. No, I apologize. The star of the Emmy-winning Will and Grace. No, I'm sorry.
She looks
it's
just like
actually the mild-mannered yet troubled librarian from every Cinemax movie. Yes, that's it.
Exactly.
Now, obviously,
she does. She looks like that totally hot chick that they say, okay, you look too hot. We need to make you book smart or like a librarian
a
or something.
Frumpy.
Yeah, we got to put up your hair and put the glasses on. She's like in that, like a Cinemax movie. She'd let down her hair and it'd be like, start the music and then be the software.
She looks like one of the women that would be in like My First Sex Teacher.
Yeah, something like that. Or one of the Emmanuels, maybe. That's like
the Emmanuel Goes to High School?
Yeah.
Waka waka.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the political stuff, and but The View, of course, they had to get into it. Whoopi and Elizabeth Hasselbeck, who's incredibly smart, by the way.
She's sharp as a tack.
They started talking about the whole pregnant daughter issue, which here's my thing. It won't exist if you don't talk about it. Stop talking about it, you know what I mean? Yeah. I don't care if the bitch's daughter's pregnant or anything like that. It doesn't matter. I don't care. But
some bitches' daughters.
But if you want to see some other bitches talk about it or argue about it, where it's like everybody talking at once. Okay, day one. That's something that we don't have to consciously think about. There's only three of us, even with Vanessa. Sometimes we talk over each other. But if I was a producer of The View, I would start with, okay, guys, we've been doing the show for a while. We got to learn how to not talk over each other.
Right.
Because for the viewer, they don't know what the hell's going on. But it's like, hey, we get the ratings. We can talk over each other. And you get shit like this.
So I hope that this idea that this girl has made a choice and this one has made a choice stays with us. Because I know a lot of people want to get rid of choice, but I do think it's important.
Right. I don't think that's right.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to clap at that.
Here.
Looking down on the fact that she's going to have this child, she's giving this child a chance at life.
No one's looking down at her.
There are left wing liberal.
Well, not at this table, okay, Elizabeth.
But that's why I like this.
Well, sat here and did the same thing to Britney Spears' sister. We sat here and judged Britney Spears' sisters. We sat here.
People willingly watch these conversations take place.
No, no, but I'm saying, we as a nation have put this together. We have put it together. We have made this. We have sat and done the same thing. And so we can't say it's liberals or left or right. It's we're doing it as a nation.
Exactly, Whoopi.
I'll say it. I've said it before. I'll say it again. And Elizabeth Hasselbeck, shut up. Shut your mouth, your stupid mouth.
Ah, shit.
So this week on Regis, Jeremy Piven was on the show because Entourage is back this week, this Sunday. Oh, so we'll finally be talking about it next week. I don't even remember what happened last, except for Medellin was a disaster. But I can't wait
That's
to...
That's pretty much it.
I love that footage of Medellin whenever I think about it. Just the guy hanging out upside down with the chicken.
I saw that trailer is on the DVD release of last season.
Oh, I saw this funny clip. I guess it's from the premiere of Richard Roper on his show panning Medellin, and it looked pretty funny. I can't wait to see that. But Jeremy Piven's on Regis, and we've talked about before how Regis is kind of – he goes into weird territory where you don't know in the interview. You don't know what the hell's going on because he's so old.
He's so old.
Either that or he's always been crazy. What do you think?
I think he's always been mildly insane.
So listen as Jeremy Piven just doesn't know where he's going with this.
Here you are, single – bachelor, roaming the world, Australia, Bali. I mean, it must be awfully nice, huh?
It's fine. Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't know how to answer. Is that a real question or is
that... Well, yes, it's a real question. But don't you get lonely?
I do indeed. Is this the part where you offer up one of your daughters? What happens now?
As a matter of fact, Wait a minute.
Got a lovely daughter. Yes.
A beautiful daughter.
But Joanna Philbin, you'd love her.
We'll speak later.
She's smart. She's nice. Yep.
Talented. Yes. Gorgeous.
I'm getting frightened.
They waited too long to say gorgeous, didn't they?
Yeah.
She's got a great
personality. Well, she's ugly.
She reads a lot.
She's talented.
She's very plain, smart. But she'll do anything you want her to do in bed.
She loves libraries.
She wears glasses. She's sexually adventurous.
Clip's gonna kill me.
Okay, we haven't even talked about America's Got Talent at all this season. There's a reason.
There's no talent there.
No talent there.
There's been none of that one guy. Shit, I forget.
Leonid.
That was the only thing the show had going for it.
Thank you.
I turned it over there. I was flipping through, and Leonid. It was on, and there was a Tina Turner male impersonator.
Just the fact that you remembered his name, Bill. I love that guy. Leonid.
Thank you, David. Love that guy.
Don't you remember he would say, thank you, David.
Thank you, David.
But anyway, that show is back, and it's got Piers Morgan on it and Ozzy Osbourne's wife, right?
Yeah,
I can't stand her.
Ozzy! What happened to the Osbournes? That was a great show. It only put both your kids in rehab.
Yeah, exactly.
The spotlight on them. But seriously,
at least one of the kids was smart and chose not to participate in it.
I know. That was probably a good move on her part. But, okay, so America's Got Talent. No one has talent on the show. Everyone's really just bad. I mean, I can't watch 2 minutes of the show.
Well, I'm sorry, but talent is not like a magician or a dance crew. or
a juggler. I mean,
juggler.
Thank you, David.
It's just not talent. I don't understand where or why they call it talent.
Let me ask you if this is talent. Do you remember in Blazing Saddles, there's a part where Dom DeLuise is like a director on this very gay movie. They're like, put out your hips, stick out your tush, and give it a push. Remember that part?
Yeah.
Well, apparently those guys were on America's Got Talent singing Put on the Ritz. It's the gayest thing you've seen. And finally, Piers buzzes them. And when he insults them, the crowd goes nuts. They're really just annoyed by it. And we'll check it out. It's great. Just, you guys can't get a visual on this, but picture those guys from Blazing Saddles and the gay meter on 10 and singing this song. Down the left, the arm is bare, putting on the red. That's where we do every loser go. Every Sunday evening with a swell girl. Judging you purely on the dancing and in the context of $1 million talent competition in the final stages, I honestly think that if Fred Astaire could watch that, he'd turn in his grave.
Uh-oh.
Righteous kill.
The guy singing sounded like Rufus Wainwright.
Thank you, David.
So, yeah, that's that show.
I prefer the taco version.
Taco. God, that was so bad.
Yeah, I saw they were talking to, I guess, Piers Buzz, the Tina Turner impersonator, too.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's just not a talent. Sorry.
Yeah, there's also a Britney chick on there, and...
And it was like, it is. I'm an actress. He's like, no, you're a male. No.
Do we even talk about the, remember the opera guy, Bill? I remember you showed me on YouTube that the...
Paul Potts?
Yeah, the Britain's Got Talent. Yeah. Was that what it's called?
Yeah.
This opera guy come on and everyone's crying because he has a beautiful voice. And they did the same thing on America's Got Talent this season and tried to pretend like it never happened to Britain.
That put the nail in the coffin for me. I was like, you know, if you're going to try to make something happen twice, it's just, it was bad. Bad, bad, bad.
Ah, shit!
Exactly.
I agree.
So, okay, America's Top Model, huge, long, 2-hour premiere.
Oh, are you serious?
Only stuff like 24 or Lost usually gets a 2-hour premiere, but not on the CW. 90210, Top Model, 2-hour premiere. And there's a very peculiar contestant this season.
Peculiar. That's an understatement.
Something very interesting about this.
Someone's got a penis.
Cue the crying game now. Remember that movie? Wow. So let's go ahead and check this out. And by the way, Tyra, I love her.
Oh,
my God. This girl is absolutely amazing. She's got to come back for America's Next Top Model. I said this girl, and my staff said, Tyra, there's something a little different about that girl. So what's different about that girl?
I was born physically male, but mentally, everything else, I was born female. Some people might say that I'm transgender. Some people might say transsexual. Personally, I prefer born in the wrong body, meaning I was born physically male on the outside, but everything else about me was female.
Tell me about when you knew that you were a girl.
As long as I can remember, it's not something I chose. This is who I've always been.
So let's talk about surgery. Are you pre-op or post-op transgender?
Pre-op.
Pre-op. And do you want to have the surgery one day?
If I could have it right now, I would.
Say you were to make it into this competition. What do you think your presence in this competition would do for the gay, lesbian, and transgender community?
I'm proud to be somebody, you know, to represent other people, but I'm coming here for myself because this is something that I really worked hard for, and I've been practicing, and I really, really want it.
Practicing
what?
I'm on
a prize, no matter what people may think of me or not. I'm here, I'm myself.
Practicing hiding his penis.
Transition or not, I'm me.
Tucking. I'm tucking it back.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Anyone for penis?
He listens to Joy Division in his basement.
No, is that that we recently? Man, it was on Clerks 2, the song from Silence of the Lambs. You know, the horses song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God, who does it?
Goodbye, horses.
Yeah, Bill, your volume dropped.
Oh, Jesus there, Christ.
There you are.
There you go.
Ah, shit.
All right. 90210 is back. It's a two-hour premiere. Steve and I were watching it before the show started. We pretty much, I'll say this first of all, I think the show is for 13 to 15-year-old demographic. It's got to be. I hope it is.
Yeah, it has to be because it's bad.
And
I mean, if they're trying to use some of the old characters to appease to the people who watched it back when.
They did for that 2 hours, and then that was it. But, you know.
Yeah, for about 5 minutes screen time.
On the end, Nickelodeon, they had Degrassi, The Next Generation. Huge hit in Canada, but people love it here too. And they did the same thing. I think that 90210, the producers saw that as like, we need to do that with 90210, what they did with Degrassi, because that really worked. And there's a problem. The writing is a lot better on Degrassi.
Yeah.
And,
well, they're not dealing, dealing with a bunch of spoiled rich children.
It's
like, there might be in Degrassi there might be one or two versus
it's like this is
the
Beverly.
Entire school.
This is Beverly. We got to have Lamborghinis and Ferraris in the parking lot.
And then you got
and it also makes it easier and lazier writing.
Yeah,
you've got the two poor kids, you know, from
They drive up in a minivan.
They come up.
Yeah, and one's an adopted black kid.
Hey, Bill, why do they need flat screen LCD monitors in the hallways?
They were doing the news.
Yeah, for the newscast.
So kids can stand in the hallway and watch their newscast.
There was one classroom
they had a 70-inch screen in their classroom.
Don't you understand that it's West Beverly High?
Yeah, they're rich, And some of them are offspring of the people from the original 90210. The best part, though, is the first day of school, there's a dude getting a blowjob curbside next to the school with his window down.
This is like a weekend. Remember, they said they missed the first week of school, so no, it's a weekend.
Right.
It wasn't his first day of school. It was their first day.
Right.
Yeah.
No,
is that what you're saying?
No.
Holy crap, semantics, Steve.
No, what I'm saying is the guy was getting a blowjob curbside.
Yeah, right.
It wasn't like he was way back in the parking lot. He was right friggin' there where the curb and the school steps start, and he's getting a blowjob with his window down. Like someone comes up, hey, dude, someone's sucking your dick, man. What the hell?
I think she was just tucking his shirt in his pants.
Oh.
You assume.
Ah, shit.
He spilled a little mustard down there. But, so anyway.
She was just licking it off for him.
All I could think about was parking lot BJs after that. So I was kind of lost a bit.
Distracted.
But it's got the grandma from Arrested Development playing the same character.
That's not a character.
Yeah, just be yourself. Oh, action! But, I mean, what is there to say about the show? It's completely stupid.
Ridiculous.
Terrible.
There's a guy, he wants to be on the rugby team. What was it? The lacrosse team. And the guy starts a fight. And another girl.
And then there's the girl with the drug problem that owes money.
That was hilarious.
It's like they try to attack too many issues in one episode.
She's got a drug problem. My favorite is the girl having the $1 million birthday party.
And she finds out that her boyfriend's cheating on her.
Yeah, on
at
her
the party.
Sidekick. Yeah,
then finding out all the people who are related from.
I want to know this.
Don't forget the video blog girl.
I'm really disappointed. They had a chance. They showed her phone, they showed a video blog. Nowhere did I see Sprint or Verizon. They didn't capitalize the way that Smallville does. They really need to get on the ball with that.
Well, they all had sidekicks, so they should have had T-Mobile somewhere.
Yeah, I didn't see any of that.
The only thing we saw was that Dr. Pepper was sponsoring.
And what's even worse than that, Bill, there's a part where they're playing the Xbox 360.
Oh, my God.
And it's so horrible-looking.
It's like the worst Flash animation you've ever seen.
They should have been playing Bad Company or something. They would have also gotten a advertisement.
Righteous Kill.
Yeah, you see it in the background.
Well, even Heroes sprung for that horrible PS3 game, that Heavenly Sword.
Yeah, they have that on in the background, or kids playing
it. Yeah, what's wrong with getting a game to appear in your show? Is it really that difficult? Do you have to go create something that's horrible with
this
fake?
This is their first episode. They don't know if it's going to take off or not.
What does it matter?
But it's like the animation was so bad, they didn't even have backgrounds.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and then it's like this really bad... It looked like a fighting game that you would have saw on the PS1. First off, and then they're like hammering at these Xbox 360 controllers.
Yeah, they're tapping on the buttons. Oh man,
you got it. Changes the way he's tapping on the buttons with his arm, so he goes in like from the side, and it's like, what are you playing that you would ever change the way you're hitting the buttons?
So, you know, usually you would, you know, cry foul with all the horrible advertisements, but they really dropped the ball on that. They could have made some extra dough on this.
Dude, you ate my head.
Yeah, the best part about it is Brenda's back. Let's check out this scene and pay attention to the great dialogue and writing. It's great to see her back.
Nat, get me a shake, French fries, extra crispy.
Ah! Oh, Nat, peach pit.
That was
so good to see both of you in this place again. How's your brother?
Oh, Brandon is good. He told me to tell you that every single time he thinks of you, he craves a mega burger.
Oh, I made an impression.
Awkward.
And he told me to tell you that you are beautiful.
Yes, he said that on the phone at 3 a.m. when he called from Belize.
What is with you Walsh kids? You can't stay in one place.
Well, I'm here for at least a month doing the play, so that should count for something.
Yes, it does. Listen, I was thinking...
Cue guitar.
We should spend some more time together. I mean, it's been too long. Last time you saw Sammy was when he was a baby.
I know.
And... You know, I was thinking that we've wasted a lot of time over the last couple of years, you know?
Yeah, I know.
So when you say we stop wasting it and get back to where we were?
Sounds great. My only question is, what are we doing here, just having milkshakes?
That's a good question. Yeah.
Matt?
Waka waka!
Ah, shit!
That was really bad.
So we try to watch.
I love the dialogue of, oh, he's in Belize.
Yeah.
Like it. Matters?
Yeah. Like, who goes to Belize?
That's where the old fans of the show going, I wonder where Brandon is now. Oh, he's in Belize. I wonder where Dylan is. Oh, maybe
every
they'll mention.
Time he sees a hamburger, he craves a mega burger.
Well, me and Jason were sitting there watching it, and the little girl doing the anchor on the news was the Zuckerman's daughter.
Yeah, Andrea's daughter.
And Jason's, I didn't even catch that.
Yeah, they're trying to throw those little things for the poor, pathetic people watching.
Obsessive idiots.
To tie it into their old show that they love. So anyway, that's 90210. Don't be surprised if we never mention it again.
Yeah, I don't see myself watching it ever again.
No, we were sitting there going, this is, like you said, for 13-year-old girls.
Yeah, it is. I don't even... They're better off watching reruns of Degrassi the next generation.
I would rather watch South of Nowhere on the N. At least that has hot lesbians.
They ought to at least cast those chicks from that show or something.
Something.
Know? So anyway, okay, let's talk about Kitchen Nightmares. Kitchen Nightmares is back, and they started off...
Sort of.
Yeah, they've started off the first episode with Gordon Ramsay returning to the old restaurants, which I was like, cool, that's a cool idea, because, you know, they did it on the British series, and I'm curious to what they did, except you have to watch pretty much the entire sequence from last season when he went to each of those restaurants over again to catch us up on it, which is fine.
It's like 2 hours to get through six restaurants.
What's worse, Bill, is that they would recap everything, then say, Gordon will return to the restaurant. Will it be bad? Will it be a new nightmare? And it shows them, like, let me look in here. And like, dun-dun-dun, like, what's going to happen? Then they go to commercial. They come back. They recap everything over again. Then he goes to the restaurant, and everything's great. They listen to him. They're making a lot of money. Everyone's happy. Everything's fantastic.
Well, you know, he's proved
the
it
six
time
restaurants
and again that if
did cover
that if they, you know, everything he did for them always worked. It's like, why would you not continue to follow?
Yeah, and so then he goes to the next restaurant and they do the whole recap, go to commercial, come back, recap it again. Then he visits Really, I was trying to find a clip for the show. There's nothing.
There's nothing there.
And the
there's one big slap on the back. Like, hey, you listen to me. You're successful. Well, congratulations.
You know, I was glad to see these people were successful. It was great.
Yeah, it was good to see that, you know, that they're still working.
The crazy Guido Peter at the end. Did you notice that Gordon didn't go back to his restaurant?
Yeah, I don't blame him.
It was just interviewing them of how things were successful, but Gordon didn't visit
him. I wanted to know what happened to the Diamonds on My Fish.
Yeah.
And the other guy that had the place in L.A., they shut down, didn't they?
Yeah, that one shut down.
At the end of that episode, it said, and there was another one where the guy's mom was making him run the restaurant and he hated it. And they said that he just sold the restaurant.
Okay, yeah.
So, but I was, really like curious of what was going to happen, but they really just totally did what they do on the show, which is go overboard on the flashbacks.
You know, if they actually would go and follow the British way they do it,
which they're never going to do.
They'll never do, you know.
But
the production company is so, obsessed with overproducing the thing that it will never be like that. I mean, there's no music or sound effects in the British version.
They even have, at the very end of this episode, I noticed they had a little, I wish I would have read it better, but it said that sequences are sometimes edited out of order than which they actually happened.
Yeah.
They have to say that because then a lot of times they'll show a reaction of somebody, like, the patrons looking, like when somebody's yelling, like, what was that sound? And, it's totally fake. So they have to put a tagline on there saying that happened. But the most interesting thing about this show was that they showed a preview to the season of Kitchen Nightmares. What's going to happen? And I have that. Let's check that out.
This season on Kitchen Nightmares, Chef Ramsay is taking on even bigger challenges.
Here we go, let's go.
Traveling.
Okay, here we are.
To some of America's most disorganized.
How can you guys run a business like this?
It's madness.
Most disgraceful.
How can you expect food if you cook it in this? It's disgusting.
And most dangerous restaurants yet.
We got more cockroaches than customers.
I feel like it can't get any worse than it is now.
I'm so sorry. I'm closing the place down.
How can you revive a place that looks this bad?
I'm here to make this place work.
Now he's determined to bring them back from the brink of disaster.
Chris, it's chicken against raw chicken. You gotta kill someone.
Under the most dire of circumstances.
We're losing our houses. We're losing our life. Yeah. We're losing our everything.
This is my last resort.
My wife and I have spent our savings, our 401ks.
While some welcome his help.
I'm happy to see a smaller menu. I'm happy to see better food.
Others prove resistant.
Start with me.
Should I put your hands in front of you?
I can't believe you're telling me my food sucks. You're out of your mind.
I wouldn't talk to my dog the way you talk to me. Go
shut the hell with everything. I'll make it work without his help.
Watch as Chef Ramsay attempts to turn America's kitchen nightmares.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the glass to start breaking.
Into dreams.
It's more than I've ever expected. It's a total fresh start.
I'm here to help. I am not giving up.
And every season they got the one guy. I'm not going to do what he tells me. Yeah. And then 10 minutes later, oh, okay, dude, I was an asshole.
You were right. I'm glad you put my ego in check, Gordon.
Thanks, man. So we'll be talking about Kitchen Nightmares every week. All right. And we'll be complaining about the editing. But let's go ahead and take a break, guys, and we'll be right back. See you then. And we'll talk a little bit about Big Brother and get into the news. And we got to talk about the middleman.
Yeah, middleman.
Yeah.
All right, be right back.
Spooky Hotel.
Homey, isn't it?
It's blueberry.
With my hauntingly delicious cereal.
Wow, blueberry flavor.
With tasty marshmallows.
It hasn't a ghost of a chance
when Count Chocula's here.
Oh, boy, a chocolatey flavored cereal.
With tasty marshmallows.
Blueberry.
Count Chocula.
I picture a delicious breakfast. You too can enjoy a good, nutritious breakfast with
blueberry.
Count Chocula.
Why buy just a video game from Atari or Intellivision? Invest in the Wonder Computer of the 1980s for under $300. The Commodore VIC-20. Unlike games, it has a real computer keyboard. With the Commodore VIC-20, the whole family can learn computing at home. Plays great games, too. Under $300, the wonder computer of the 1980s, the Commodore VIC-20.
Coming soon, Commodore brings you Gorf, the Wonder Arcade game, and Omega Race in home versions.
Zenmaster has placed you in a dreadfully precarious position.
You're playing the most phenomenal game ever created.
Your skin grows cold from your first glimpse of an enormous beast.
It's a product of your imagination.
Survival depends on a quick, decisive move.
Your choices are limited.
Stand and fight, or run.
Use your lightning bolt.
Victory is yours.
Win the treasure.
TSR Hobbies.
Dungeons and Dragons games.
Products of your imagination.
Now you can shake up some safe summer fun with the ViewMaster Light Up Light Stick. Bend it. Shake it. It lights up and lasts all night long. The Light Up Light Stick is fun by itself. You can also buy it with an inflatable night ball, with a light-up night diver parachute, or with this light-up whistling night flyer.
Really awesome!
Wow, look at that!
There are lots of ways to play with ViewMaster light-up light sticks that you'll find some new ways yourself. ViewMaster light-up light stick. Save fun when the sun goes down.
The big wheels are a-rolling. Listen to them spin. It's the big wheels pound of power with the speed you need to win. Roaring. Spinning. Winning. It's the coolest. Adjustable seat. Your eyes low and neat. Look at that big wheel. It turns on a dime. Roaring. Spinning. Winning. This Christmas, it's the big wheel by Marks.
GoBots. Battle of the Rock Lord.
Now we have them. There'll be no miraculous escape this time.
We've got the Guardian by surprise.
GoBots. Defenders of the universe meet their greatest challenge.
One command center going in alone might be able to get around their scanners and defenses.
From across the depths of intergalactic space come the last survivors of a once proud people, the Rock Lords. Solitaire and Nugget seek the mighty GoBots and enlist their help in a desperate mission to save their doomed planet.
I'll handle this.
Ah! Solitaire!
You asked for it!
Psykid and Magma unite. Their goal is to rule the universe.
Don't do it!
Smash those rocks!
It looks like the end for the GoBots as the merciless enemy close in for the kill. Fly with the GoBots as they face their greatest challenge. Come along on the grand adventure. GoBots, Battle of the Rock Lords.
The next time your kids watch videos, watch your kids. Their imaginations could be going right down the tube. Which is why ViewMaster created Kid Songs Video.
Hey kids, come on over and I'll show you how to play the spoon.
They're exciting, original musical productions that encourage kids to sing along, to dance along. In fact, Kid Songs are so much fun, you'll want to collect them all. Kid Songs Videos from ViewMaster, because they are what they watch.
Kit here was designed to do the impossible.
And I do.
But wait till you see this.
Knight Rider Impossible.
The Knight Rider Impossible set takes on impossible angles and hangs tough. With all this twist and turn and track, this car does things even Kit can't do.
Now, wait a minute.
There's also the Kit computer headquarters to charge up and move out. Hey, Kit, this set is really something.
Don't get carried away.
The Knight Rider Impossible set
from LJN.
Journey to the all-new world of adventure with the Star Wars droids. The race is on. R2-D2 and C-3PO get Thal Jobin ready, set, and gone. Thal's a sure winner, but Bim in size and T-Brome want to stop him from the side gunner Teague attacks. Thal races for his life, but here comes Chor Dusat in his A-Wing. He fires, hits his mark, and sends Teague sailing. Who says good guys finish last? Share the adventure with these figures and vehicles. Batteries not included, each sold separately. New from Kenner's Star Wars Droids Collect.
This is Stratego. Not a place, not a time, but a battle of wit and skill and strategy. Stratego, we're generals. field marshals, scouts and lieutenants, miners and spies all conspire with bombs and brains to capture the enemy flag, to win the battle, to win the game. Get Stratego from Milton Bradley. Victory awaits you.
Saturday, Charmin Ray shows 227 how to have fun.
I'm having fun.
And on Amen, Velma's in the Army, and the men are in big trouble.
I have a hormone problem, sir.
Then the Golden Girls find a hot new comic.
How hot is it?
And why is Laverne moving in with Harry?
Honk, 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 a bound in love.
Saturday.
You're gonna have me some fun.
Bill's gonna be having me some fun, right, Bill? Oh, yeah!
This week in theaters. Oh, wait, next week. You know.
I love fun. I love having fun.
Okay,
Bill Duke has more fun than anyone, though.
We're going to talk about Big Brother real quick, because I got to be honest with you. I only watched the eviction show. I didn't watch the two previous episodes.
There was no reason to.
But the one part I thought was funny was they show the sequester house. And
you know, it's funny you even mentioned that, because I leaned over to my dad while we were watching, and I said, watch, they're going to sit there and just badmouth everyone that's still in the house, because that's exactly what those four did while they were in the house.
Right, there's Libra, April, and Michelle, and they start bashing Keisha for no reason. Or I guess
April has an issue with Keisha because Keisha's more attractive than April.
Right, so here's what happens. Michelle gets there. She starts talking about being backdoored, but then she shows them, they always bring, hey guys, I got a DVD for us to watch. Let's watch this competition. Yeah. And
why do they always do a close up of the DVD?
Yeah.
Cause it's like your typical production DVD, Big Brother 10 sequester.
It really is a DVD. Thank you, show. Hey, and the DVD player works.
Yeah, but what they don't show you, they like overlay the screen, so you never see that they're actually watching it. They overlay it, and it's so poorly done.
Superimposed. Well, let's check this out. See how long it takes them to start bashing Keisha.
Goodness, I would love to see Keisha. I would be the first to open the door for her. I'd roll out the carpet and say welcome. And hopefully there won't be any bedrooms available, and she'd have to sleep outside.
Like the dog that she is.
I got backdoored. You don't even know what happened.
Ali made a deal, and
that's
I got backdoored.
That's your own personal business.
I'm in shock right now.
I knew. Ali got taken.
I love it in the butt. In the butt, everyone. In the butt.
You guys won't even believe what happened. All right, I'm going to pop it in.
Pop it in my butt.
Oh my god, I do look good on camera.
He's the only one that thinks that.
Starts now.
She's not losing any weight. She gained like 15 pounds in her ass.
Oh god, she makes me nauseous.
Yes! Oh my gosh! I have no respect for Keisha. I'll state it to her face. I left the house with all my respect and dignity and pride. And some of these people actually have to live with themselves outside this game. And I feel sorry for them.
And yet she's the one that had sex a record 12 times?
Yeah.
In the house?
Shit.
Well, you know, when they're saying that stuff about Keisha, I'm like, she doesn't look bad to me.
No, she's gorgeous.
Maybe it's just because I'm a guy. I don't know.
Did you see her during the eviction show?
I had to
literally hold my hand under my chin to keep my mouth from falling.
I was wondering how many men were like doing a mind meld, like pop off top, pop off, like,
yeah, that push-up bra was something else.
I mean, it was just like everybody's, they were ready to go, like, oh my god, Keisha, it's like, oh, I'm topless, oh my god, how did this happen?
I don't think she's fat at all. I think she's absolutely, I want a woman with some meat on her bones.
I guess that shows how nasty women could be to each other.
Well, yeah, they're always very, very catty.
Yeah, and then, first of all, Michelle, his name is Ali. He's not Muhammad Ali.
Muhammad Ali.
She's like, Ali made a deal, and I got backdoored.
Guess who got backdoored? I got backdoored. I got backdoored.
It's like, yeah, we heard you the first
time. Yeah, we realized you got backdoored.
Okay, before we talk about the middleman finale, Bill, let's talk about Sam Crow.
Do we really have to talk about it?
Our Sons of Anarchy. I'm going to keep watching.
They didn't even realize. They didn't explain what Sam Crow was. It's like you had to figure it out on your own. They never mentioned the acronym.
Yeah, Sam Crow stands for Sons of Anarchy Motorcycle Organization or something.
I have no idea. It's just, you told me to watch it because you were like, hey, this looks interesting. Let's watch it.
And then we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Did they try too hard to be kind of hardcore?
Yes, they did. They tried to be too hardcore, and you know what? It just didn't work. None of it worked. The direction was horribly heavy-handed.
It's basically like, about what it's about is a motorcycle gang family, kind of like a crime organization. Like,
yeah, it's a crime family. It's motorcycle mafia.
Right, and dealing with drug dealers, gun runners,
that kind of thing.
And the family dynamic, kind of like The Sopranos, only not as good. But
yeah, but it introduces that bit of the guy, one of the co-creators of the gang, never wanted it to be a crime organization.
Right, they introduced that. And one thing is, the guy who's not even on the show, the dead person who wrote his journal, seemed more interesting than a lot of what was going on.
It did. If it would have just been the character reading the treatment or the novel.
I'd like to read that guy's journal.
are they trying to create something to replace The Shield or something?
Possibly being hardcore like that, but
just not
lots of
well.
Violence.
It depends
and
on how interested
swearing.
You are. The funniest thing I thought is there's a part where the main guy, Charlie, played by Charlie Hunman, I think his name, he was on Undeclared. He played Lloyd, the English guy who got laid all
the
time.
Oh my God, you're right.
There's a part where he's riding on his Harley and he's got the leather on. He looks really ridiculous with his helmet. And there's all these schoolgirls like going, ooh, as he rides by. And I was like, whatever. They'd be scared of him more than anything.
They would be running behind the fence.
There's also a part where he has a bulletproof vest on and gets shot twice in the back. And he's like, I'm all right. I got a vest on. It's like, dude, no. Okay.
Yeah, what's funny is he gets shot twice in the back, and then he spins around and shoots the guy that shot him. Like, and he got shot, like, right in the kidneys.
Dude,
so
he
would have been
shot,
out like a light.
He would have been down a long time. It's like getting hit with a sledgehammer twice.
When you get hit in your kidneys, I tell you, you're pissing yourself.
But he was fine, though, because he had his vest on. So he has one of those new vests where
new
it doesn't hurt when you get shot.
It's
super Kevlar.
And they even showed him put on the vest. It was like not even like a centimeter thick. It looked like a regular shirt. Yeah, it's my bulletproof, shirt.
Well, the thing that, like I mentioned, the direction being really heavy-handed is the moment the show opens, it's two crows eating what's left over of a dove on the road before the motorcycle gang comes running over it, and it's like, oh, foreshadowing. That's so, they're a bad group.
Honestly, I didn't even notice that because you wouldn't unless you knew about the Sam Crow thing, I think.
Which I knew about because you mentioned that you had no idea who Sam Crow was.
I kept asking my wife, like, who the hell's Sam Crow? Why do they keep saying that? And it's got Ron Perlman. It's got Hellboy as the leader of the guys.
Peggy Bundy is the evil mom.
Yeah. And it's got Drea De Mateo from...
Yeah, but how long is she going to be on there with her seizuring out at the end of this episode?
They show her, like, cooking... Is it meth, Bill?
It's they say crank.
She's, cranking a spoon, and then camera pulls back, pregnant.
Yeah.
Nice.
And you're like, oh my God. And then, of course, they show the blood coming out from between her legs. It's just like, thanks, TV show. Thanks. You're hardcore.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think I'll watch it a few more weeks to see if I can stand it anymore. But because there are certain characters that I did like. The dumb guy who carves up the deer in the car, and then he sticks the rotting head in a bag, and he's like, I was going to put it up on the wall. And they're like, you need to stuff that. And he's like,
stuff it and treat it. And he's like, wait, what?
He's like, what are you talking about? But also the guy who goes away to Lake Tahoe to be Elvis, but there's an Asian Elvis impersonator. You remember?
Oh, yeah, you're right. So they beat him up.
They're beating up the Asian Elvis guy, and he's like, oh, mama, help me. And they're like,
help me, yeah.
Like punching him.
Wow.
He's Elvis as he's getting beaten.
Yeah, he stays in character.
Stays in character.
And basically, Peg Bundy is like the matriarch who's pulling the strings is what they allude to. And she's even like, don't let my son be soft. She tells Ron Perlman that. Don't let my son be soft like his dad was. So maybe, hey, they're building some backstory.
They probably took the dad out.
Because he didn't want to do that. So, you know, it's basically, here's the problem with the show. You've seen it all before, and you've seen it done better.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens with that, if we are interested enough to talk about it anymore. But we will talk about the middleman, Steven.
Yes.
Middleman!
Middleman! And it was the finale. And it's a great show. There was parts in the show, the dialogue, where... you know, go with me here, Bill. The show first started, you knew the show was smart. And you knew it was kind of trying to get into that groove. Sometimes the dialogue was awkward because they had so much to say. But you got it. You forgave it for that. Now it's in that gear where they're in a rhythm and everything is, I think, perfect. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
And it comes at you. It doesn't stop. It just does not stop. And if I love that the show was filled with, like, MacGuffins.
Yeah,
you know, to like move the story along.
I love. There's a part where she talks about who shot JR in Spanish, and I knew that's what she was saying, even though I don't know the Spanish. And I was like, I love this show. It's just so great. And it was about a mirror universe, like Star Trek. There were how many references to other movies were in this? I couldn't count them.
Yeah. All. Well, there was the very beginning was the beryllium sphere.
Yeah.
Which was in The Shadow and in Galaxy Quest, and then the oscillation overthruster, which was Buckaroo Banzai.
Yeah,
right?
Which I loved. Yeah. I thought that was so awesome. The overthruster.
And, polydichloric euthymol was in Outland.
That was so awesome.
And they, just there's all
mentioned 1.21 gigawatts.
Yeah, the 1.0121 gigawatts.
And then, you know, she goes into a mirror world where everything's evil, and they show the middleman, and he's Snake Plissken. He's got the eye patch, he's got tattoos, and he doesn't care about anything, and he only works for money. What's in it for him? And
Ida is like a model.
She's like a hot like chick. A
model.
Yeah.
And the chick did a great job with the voice. It was dead on.
Yeah, she was still the Ida personality. My favorite part was Noser with a shotgun. Yeah, he's like a badass.
Yes. Oh, and then whenever Pip pulls up to her and goes, come with me if you want to live.
Yeah, and he's like a priest. He's like the opposite. He's like evil
Father
in our
Pip.
World. He's evil in our world. He's a great, he's a priest in that
there.
Mirror world. But everything was so great. And...
Yeah, I guess the mirror, that whole scene was right out of Star Trek episode Mirror Mirror.
Because there's that Star Trek episode where everyone's got an evil goatee, you know?
Yes. So
that was great. And I love, like, Dub Dub, the evil version of Dub Dub, when they're talking about, like, you know, it doesn't have to be this way. And she's like, oh my God, you're right. What have I been doing? And they're like, really? And she goes, psych. You know, like, no, that's not going to work. And
there were so many moments in it that I was like, I loved the whole thing of manservant Neville being on the screens all around the place, like the so many different dystopian themes.
What it reminded me of that whole scene when she arrives and people are in lines and everything's miserable. It reminded me
they're getting their soup spray.
Yeah, it reminded me of Half-Life 2, like City 17.
Well, it reminded me of Half-Life 2. It reminded me of Equilibrium.
Yeah,
it reminded me of V for Vendetta.
Yeah, I mean, they always have a guy on a screen. And all those things, there's always a guy on the screen, and that guy is actually not really, you know, pulling the strings. That's the way it always is. And I love the villain guy who wanted to change places because he was in the wrong world with his twin. I love the part where he's like, don't move or I'll break her neck. And he just goes, shoots him in the head.
Shoots him in the head.
I love that. That's such a
great I also
show.
Like the last scene, though, whenever the middleman goes to Lacey and decides that she'll be the middle girl.
Oh yeah, I love that.
In that world.
So it's the kind of thing where you know that Lacey and the middleman can't be together, so they make them together in that alternate timeline.
Yeah. Oh, hopefully God. We'll see them again. You know, I know that I haven't got confirmation of it, but for everything I'm hearing is that ABC Family put it on the back burner, like they're not really concerned about it. So maybe if they give it up, they can shop it around to USA or Sci-Fi would be perfect.
Sci-Fi, or I was even saying,
because you know Sci-Fi has so many, you know, like Eureka and that. I think that would be the perfect lineup, like Eureka and then the middleman.
That would just, you know, don't mess with anything. They could just take it where it's the same, and yeah, it wouldn't be bad to give them a little bit more money because they do the best they can. I mean, they make it very, you know, they don't have money on the show, but they make it work.
They saved, it looks like they saved most of their money for this last episode.
Yeah, they make it work, and it's really funny. And if you're not watching The Middleman, hopefully it comes out on DVD, or you can check it out on in other means, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and there was a mention that the episode was dedicated to a friend of the show, this Neil Levin, or Levine, who was a writer who did a bunch of work on a bunch of different shows, like the 4400 and Firefly, and up on the middle blog where they talk about the references and everything. There's a really great like eulogy for the guy. And it just kind of makes you think, like, these guys that are writing this show are perfectly in line with what we love.
I know.
Like, they're talking about how this guy, this Neil, his 1997 Christmas card was a VHS of the Star Wars Christmas special, which was impossible to find back in the late 90s. And it just, wow. Yeah, you know, it's a really nice story.
You know what? I think this, I don't know if this is just the way I am, but if I see a dedication to someone that you know has died, and it's been particularly like a fantastic episode, yeah, it almost feels more meaningful to me when I see that they dedicated this to somebody, and it's almost like they put extra work into it because they're dedicated to their friend or something. That's the way I feel like a lot of times.
Absolutely. That's whenever I saw that, I had to search it out, and like, it was, it's that? Just really cool.
Because it was a great episode. You know, they had everything in it. And I just hope it comes back. The Middleman. Hope it comes back.
Yeah, it was a really terrific show. And you got me the Middleman Volume 1, the trade paperback they released for my birthday coming up here on the 20th, and I cannot wait to read that.
Yeah, it's all three volumes in one book, I believe.
Yeah, I'll have to return the favor
but
come your birthday.
But you're not supposed to know that, Bill. It's
you told me!
Waka waka!
Exactly. But anyway,
yeah, I cannot wait to read it.
So that's pretty much, there's going to be some other shows premiering in the next couple of weeks. I can't think of any right now. Oh, one thing is that there's this vampire show coming off
Entourage.
Of Entourage, that show True Blood.
True Blood.
Yeah, I saw that one. Looks really bizarre.
It does. It's basically a world where everyone knows vampires exist and they want rights, equal rights,
like
some crap.
Yeah, I watched like a 5-minute preview of it. Something. I just kind of scratched my head, like, do I really want to watch this?
I'll definitely, you know, I give everything a try. You know, I watch Sons of Anarchy, I watch this, I'll give everything a try.
Well, there's even a bunch of shows that are premiering for the fall that I'm interested in.
Oh, me too. Yeah, that's this
like
is my
The Mentalist. I want to see, and Fringe. I want to see
that. What is that other one? It's the guy from Dark City.
Oh, yeah, 11th Hour.
11th
Rufus
Hour.
Rufus Sewell.
Yeah, I'm going to check that out. I love watching these
shows. I got to check out the remake of Life on Mars. I know they rewrote it, they recasted it, they moved it from L.A. to New York. I just want to see what they've done with it because it's one of my all-time favorite shows and just got to see what they did with that.
I know it's not till October that the new Christian Slater show comes out.
My own worst George Cuff's enemy?
Yeah. They do the mistake, though, the thing I hate of the badass walking away from the explosion. They set off the explosion as they walk away, badass. They don't care if shrapnel goes in their back, Steven.
No.
They're nonchalant about it. That scene has been done to death and everything. Don't do it anymore, whoever you are out there.
Yeah, they should really just stop.
Greetings and salutations.
Yeah, it's good to see Christian Slater back, but what do you say we get into the news, Bill?
Let's do it.
Let's do the news!
Hey, I can still snort you under the table.
And that means drink.
Ah, shit!
Snort.
All right, Bill, what do we have in the news this week?
I've started to notice a trend with my news the past couple weeks, mainly filled with drunken idiots, drugged out idiots, and just and sex idiots.
That's the best kind.
Yeah. This is a pretty interesting story. In Maine, on Wednesday, August 27th, police were called for a report of a man whose pants were on fire. We don't know because the man was gone by the time members of the police and fire department arrived, though. Passerby called in, said the guy was out of his vehicle and his pants were on fire, said Sergeant Steve Spofford. He wasn't there when everyone got there. His pants were still there on the side of the road and they were still smoldering, so I guess his pants were actually on fire. According to the police log, the caller said the man was a redhead, apparently removed his pants because the caller then said the man was out of his car and wearing boxer shorts. He then abandoned the burning pants on the side of the road. The police are still looking for the man who abandoned his burning pants.
Can they just put him in the trash?
Yeah, why does it even matter?
They want to
make sure he's okay.
In that area.
You know what? The guy probably spilled some gas on his pants while pumping gas, or he had oil from, you know, and then he lit a cigarette. And
you know what happened the other day? And I don't get in people's face or anything. I'm not confrontational. But I called a guy, let me remember what I called him, an effing idiot or something. The guy was, I was getting gas at the gas station. You know, someone parked in front of me. He's going to get gas, right? He gets out of his car. Yeah. He's on the phone. His car starts rolling towards mine. He didn't put it in the car for the emergency brake. And it goes, boom, and hit the, you know, just didn't tap it much. But I said, effing idiot. And the guy's like, oh. So I was like, he's not even paying attention. So I got in my car and I was like, oh, this is going to be hilarious. Because he's pumping gas. And I floor it to go backwards just to see his car like start to roll, and he's like, oh shit, and he like runs around to like pull the emergency brake.
So he didn't even get back in the car to put the car in park.
When his car hit my car, he didn't even notice. He was busy on the phone. So what I was hoping would do as I backed out is his car
would
roll
from him,
and it would yank the gas thing out, gas
would
spray all over
great.
Him.
And then it could have exploded.
That would have been awesome. And I would have walked away
fire.
In slow motion as it blew up like a badass.
And you wouldn't have cared if shrapnel hit
no,
you.
No, I wouldn't have given a shit, man. But anyway, it was. I got amusement just out of seeing him scramble to pull the emergency brake real quick. And I was just like,
good thing your car wasn't. You know, that even though it's a small tap, it can still sometimes do unseen damage.
Yeah, as far as I could tell, it didn't. But I really did want to just smack the guy. But
it's just those ignorant people that are so attached to their phones.
Hey, I'm on my phone. Hey, I'm getting gas, man. What are you doing, buddy?
You know that's dangerous, too.
Yeah.
The phone with the gas. I know a lot of people have said it's a myth, but it's entirely possible that a static charge can build up.
It's not right to kill people, but I think it would have been righteous if I would have done it.
Well, that's the type of person that deserves a righteous kill.
Righteous kill.
Yeah.
In Battlefield Bad Company. All right.
Waka, waka.
Yes, exactly, Fozzie. Next story. You know, we always love a good story about a guy with prostitutes and cocaine.
Oh, yeah.
I especially love when a guy volunteers information involving the prostitute or cocaine. A Silverdale man was booked into the Kitsap County Jail early Sunday on suspicion of DUI and drug possession after telling a state trooper that he only uses cocaine when he's with prostitutes. Oh. Okay. I swear, officer, I only use it when I'm with prostitutes. A man 40 was spotted by a trooper as he drove his car north on the Warren Avenue Bridge with one headlight out. We could drive it home. One headlight. Sorry. The trooper pulled him over about 2 a.m. as he observed the 40-year-old swerving. The 40-year-old's blood alcohol level was 0.22, which is 3 times the legal limit. As the trooper was examining the driver's license, a white powder began to fall out of a crumpled $100 bill in his wallet. Oh, that's smart.
Nice. It's a little baby powder.
What is that? The trooper asked.
What is that?
Yeah, that's cocaine, the trooper reported the man saying. The man who said he got it from a woman near a convenience store. Well, that's
promoted.
Convenient. He added that he buys the cocaine for the prostitutes, and he only uses cocaine when he's with the prostitutes.
Yes!
The man was booked into the county jail on $10,000 bail.
Well, he
I
tried.
Swear. Why wouldn't you unroll the $100 and put it in your wallet? Why just cram it in there with cocaine in it? A freaking idiot.
He wasn't thinking. He's like, okay, I got to get the hookers, got to get the coke. I'm going to have a great time tonight.
I think it was Pat O'Brien, actually.
I love that guy.
We get some hookers, we get some coke, let's get crazy. All right, another prostitution story. A former Denver sheriff deputy who was fired after he was arrested in a prostitution sting can't get his job back. Get some hookers, get some coke, let's go crazy.
Man, that phone call's worse than a mystery man voicemail.
I know. Again, I'm telling you, mystery man calls from bathrooms. He'll be
it's
like
his
at work.
Dirty secrets. Who's
yeah.
he calling on his break at work? He's calling Mulberry.
And somebody will hear him in there and be like, "Who are you talking to?" Tell that turd who's boss.
Don't you get right. lonely?
Regis is such an asshole. All right, so Eric Griffith appealed his firing from the Denver Sheriff's Department, but a career service hearing officer who considered the appeal rejected the request. Griffith, who could not be reached for comment, had told the hearing officer that he was only joking with an undercover police officer posing as a prostitute, that he had no intention of following through with the sex for payment. Oh, man, I was only joking. I knew she was a cop.
God.
I could tell.
Oh, my God. Ah.
I smelt bacon on her.
What?
All right, so he's an asshole, too. Now, this is funny. I guess there's a bit of a gang problem in the UK. So the BBC, in their ever-proving wisdom, released a gang spotter guide for parents. And I always love when news agencies release these sort of things because it's such dumb stuff. They said, okay, first reason to maybe think your kid's in a gang, he's using new slang words.
Ah.
Yeah, there you go. When their vocabulary expands, do they have any unexplained money or new possessions? You know, do they have any flat screens or a new Xbox?
New iPod Touch.
Yeah. A new Sony Milo.
Yeah, Sony Milo 2.
Do they have a new nickname?
Oh, street name, right?
Yes, exactly. His handle.
Wrong dog, Jethro.
Yeah, something
like
that.
Has their appearance changed? Are they dressing in a particular style or uniform? For
Steven
example,
has been dressing different. I noticed. Steven.
Is he wearing a bandana?
Yes, he is around his leg like Chachi. Wah wah wah.
Does he love Joni?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. All right. Do they use graffiti style tags on possessions such as school books?
What are you talking about?
Yes, regularly.
Yeah, do they have unexplained physical injuries?
Steven has a gunshot wound in his shoulder.
So ridiculous. I mean, this is like stuff
I fell.
It's just a scratch.
Yeah. Do they
like
really
gunshot.
Need to tell people this stuff? Like, your kid might be in a gang if...
I think they do. Some parents just don't care.
Yes.
Brilliant! Brilliant!
Brilliant! All right, This is terrific. Drunk drivers sometimes are really stupid, but this one's a genius. A drunk driver attempted to get off the hook by offering a police officer a Jimmy John sandwich.
Whoa, what is that?
Yeah, I guess it's some...
Is that like a blowjob?
Like,
No, it's a sandwich. It's a sub sandwich.
I guess it's like a Subway sandwich or something.
Awesome! I want one.
He's like, dude, I'm like, I'm
they
drunk.
Totally have one of those on 90210.
There's a Jimmy John's here in Fort Worth.
A Jimmy John's?
Can you let me off with a warning? I'll give you my sandwich.
Is it like a fast food place?
It's a sandwich shop like a Subway.
What do you mean? You just call a sandwich shop a Jimmy John's?
No, that's the name.
No, it's not Jimmy John's.
Where is it?
When we get done here, just look it up online and you can find it.
I'm going.
I've ate at Jimmy John's up in Colorado.
Nice.
According to police reports, Mark Anthony Booth, 25, in Iowa City, was charged with drunken driving and bribery. Oh, they tagged him with a bribery count? Oof.
It was just a sandwich.
God, I know,
cops
exactly.
Don't have a sense of humor, man.
Booth was pulled over for driving with his headlights off at the intersection of Gilbert and Kirkwood. After a breathalyzer, he was arrested for drunken driving. Booth was riding with a police officer in a squad car following the arrest when he offered him a free Jimmy John's sandwich if he allowed him to go home. The officer declined the offer, to which Booth allegedly responded, "Come on, nobody's gonna know."
You look hungry. You need a Jimmy John's sandwich.
You look starved.
Hell yeah, I'm totally going to Jimmy John's or getting.
If you offered him donuts,
the weird thing is, Jimmy John's is like, okay, you go. I want this sandwich. By the time you walk to the end, it's like sitting there waiting for you. They're fast.
Nice. I want to try that.
They're just speed demons.
They're fast.
No, man, I mean they have like some sort of thing. It's like how.
Yes, but are they sandwich artistes?
Are they really that fast though?
No, really, they're pretty quick.
Where's it at? I'm totally going after the show. Are they closed by now?
They're probably closed by.
Damn
now.
It!
Are there any Jimmy John's in there in Texas?
Yeah, there's one. Some over here by Fort Worth somewhere. I've seen the sign.
Okay. I'm going to hold you to that.
You know, Steven is now the Jimmy John's culture zealot.
We need to advertise on the show. I thought it meant something else. I'll give you a Jimmy John. He's like, oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, like a Jimmy hat, like a condom. I'll give you a Jimmy John.
Zip.
Dude,
he's like,
no
dude,
way.
I'm talking about a sandwich. I'm not giving you oral.
Those are so rare, man. Really? You'll give me that? It's like the Star Wars Burger King cups. All right. This is great. You know how those stupid, they'll have stupid games, and then they'll have somebody parachute into the stadium with the game ball or something.
Yeah.
All right. Well, in Atlanta, Duke officials were a bit surprised at 6 p.m. Eastern on Saturday. About an hour before the scheduled kickoff of their game against James Madison, two men parachuted into Wallace Wade Stadium and landed at the 35-yard line with a game ball. Problem was, the Blue Devils, who were warming up on the field along with their guests from Virginia, weren't expecting it. All we know is they must have missed their jump site, a team official said. And they did, because the jump site was meant to be about 8 miles away. North Carolina was scheduled to receive the game ball for its contest against McNeese State via an aerial team at about that time in Chapel Hill. According to the University of North Carolina, Assistant Athletic Director for Promotions, Michael Beal, the plane was in the air, but the jumpers from Virginia-based Aerial Adventures opted to cancel the leap into Keenan Stadium because of a severe weather front, which would delay both games. Evidently, the clouds eventually opened. The pilot thought they were over the correct stadium, and the skydivers jumped, realizing only when they landed that they were in the wrong place.
That's awesome.
I wonder how much money they lost on that one.
Yeah, it's impossible to do a do-over because the plane's got to land, pick you back up, take you back up in the air. It's just not going to happen.
Why are people asking me questions while I'm doing the news in the chat room? Credo, what's the deal with the blue screen of death? Oh, I'm sorry. That was that stupid Microsoft commercial.
Guess who got backdoored? I got backdoored.
I got backdoored.
All right, Middleburg woman claims...
Bill.
a vampire assaulted her.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know.
Waka, waka.
In Middleburg, Florida, a woman who claimed a self-proclaimed vampire sexually assaulted her, wished investigators looked into her story a little longer. The woman wanted to remain anonymous, but we'll call her Caitlin. Ooh. That's her vampire name.
Nice.
She said she met Jeffrey Mitchell 11 months ago near her home in Clay County. Caitlin said she felt sorry for Mitchell. She brought him food to his new home in the woods behind her house. What? He had a home in the woods behind her house? He started to force himself on me. I couldn't stop him, she said. This continued over the next month, even as she told him no. Wait, what? Over an entire month?
Love you, Ruth.
Was that still behind the house?
Yeah, I'm guessing.
She kept going back there to give
me food.
No,
what do you want again? Oh, get off me!
I want sex!
I want your blood! I do not drink wine!
I am a vagina vampire!
What? Look into my eyes! Because you know when
my one eye down below.
Oh, look into it.
Shriveled plastic penis.
Ah. Floppy vampire. This is just an advertisement for the new HBO show, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Detectives took the case to state attorney's office, which declined to prosecute, citing inconsistent statements from the victim, who initially called the encounters an affair. I understand, but at the same time, I was under mental duress. How are you? This chick's an idiot. If they just investigated and said maybe this did happen, even if it's inconsistencies in the story, this wouldn't have happened if they investigated the case instead of dropping it, huh? During the abuse, authorities arrested Mitchell, or Draven, as the self-proclaimed 225-year-old vampire referred to himself on drugs.
Draven, that's a cool name.
My name is Draven, and I'm 225.
Wait a second. He totally named it. He watched The Crow way too many times.
Exactly. Eric Draven.
I'm Draven. I'm just like The Crow. It's like, no, you're a loser, dude.
I listen to Meat Beat Manifesto.
Yeah, the sausage.
Exactly. All right. In Arlington, ever had one of those frantic days when you can't find your car keys when you really need to get somewhere fast?
Oh, yeah.
Police say that's what happened to Dexter Dwayne Williams, 47. Friday, a robber passed a note to a teller at Chase Bank in the 4800 block of South Cooper Street.
That's right near where I live, man. Wow.
Really?
I can't stand it. I hate it.
So he grabbed the money. And the thief ran outside just before the bank employees locked all the doors. The robber ran towards his Dodge Dynasty parked nearby, but, oops, he left his keys in the bank. Justin Dean, an employee at a nearby Arby's restaurant, said, "I saw him run through our parking lot and jump into that car and then take off running behind the shopping center." Police found Williams unarmed, hiding near a trash bin about a block from the bank. He had thrown his hat and red T-shirt in the trash behind the store in the same block as the bank.
Stupid! You're so stupid!
Police said he wrote the note on the back of one of his checks that had all his personal information on it. He definitely isn't the brightest criminal we've come across, police said. They recovered the money and all his stuff that he threw in the trash, and he was in jail on Friday with a bail set at $50,000.
Wow, the audience turned on you, Bill.
They were turning on the guy that made the dumb mistake. All right, now this story I had to mention just because, you know, again, it just shows how stupid people are. There was a recipe for an apple cake in a Swedish magazine, and they accidentally put that instead of 2 pinches of nutmeg, they put 20 nutmeg nuts And if you've ever had fresh nutmeg, it's very strong. In fact, if you use too much, it can make you sick. Oh. So I guess like 20 people who were really dumb made this apple cake with nutmeg, and they actually used 20 nutmeg nuts.
Oh,
they ended up getting very, very sick. Yeah, exactly. And had to go to the hospital, and the magazine had to recall all released magazines and reprint a retraction and all that.
Reprint a retraction.
A reprint or print a retraction or whatever.
A month later, it's too late, man. They've already attempted to make it.
But how do you make the mistake of 2 pinches of nutmeg to 20 nutmeg nuts?
If you were reading that recipe, would you go, really? They really want me to put that much in there?
20 nuts of nutmeg? Those things are like rock hard. They're about the size of the tip of your thumb, you know, from your first crease of your from the back of your thumb up. And they take a really long time. They last forever. Basically,
okay,
and they take
minutes.
A really long time to
enough.
Use. So somebody actually went through the time of grating 20 nuts of nutmeg to make cake.
Shit!
Yeah. And I think this next one's my last story. Yeah, it is. This guy's a genius, and his mom's a genius, too. police are looking for a man who stole more than $6,000 in quarters. Police say Maurice Mizrahi, I guess no relation to Isaac Mizrahi, ripped 87 meters, 87 parking meters from the ground to get the quarters inside. The 34-year-old man allegedly dug them up from the ground and carried them to the home he shared with his mother with the help of shopping carts. Was able to drill the side and remove the money. It was his mother who, upon returning home from a long vacation, found a dozen meters inside her house and called the police. Police say they're now searching for her son, who neighbors say seemed to be in trouble in recent days. Mizrahi's been arrested at least 7 times in the past for breaking parking meters. So this guy's a repeat offender.
Oh, gross.
It says his mother told the Daily News on Friday that she did not want to talk. Not now, not tomorrow, not ever. Gee, I wonder why. and what's great about this is, do you remember in the movie Cool Hand Luke?
Yeah, I was just about to mention that.
Yeah, the guy stole parking meters. So there you go. Each meter can hold about $70 in quarters.
Nice.
And it's not the first time he's been busted for the same crime.
Easy pickings.
Yeah, really. And that's news for this week.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you for doing the news this week. I appreciate it very much. It was awesome. I especially like the guy with the burnt pants.
Yes.
I mean, seriously,
where is that man? Step forward.
I have concerns for him.
The police are on a massive manhunt.
Yes,
dude.
They're concerned about your burnt pants. They need to return them to the owner. They're lonely.
How'd it get burned? How'd it get burned? How'd it get burned?
That's the police asking around about the pants.
They're like, I don't know.
And they just go around and punch people in the face and.
Well, let's get into the DVDs. What do you say, Steven? You
let's
ready?
Let's do it.
Ow!
Let's do some DVDs.
DVDs! DVDs! HD, Blu-ray, standard definition! DVDs! Oh, hell yeah! The DVDs, everybody!
Oh, shit!
Oh. Sorry. Yeah, that lady so...
God, I love that woman!
Waka.
I could kiss her corpse.
Oh, my God. Alright, Bill, what do we have in the DVDs?
Guess who got backdoored? I got backdoored.
That's about the only way you're going to get it.
Good
I couldn't
man.
Look at that mug. Oof. She should really. I think she buys industrial size.
Well, technically, if it's the back door, you're not seeing the mug, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm saying that's the only way. She's. I mean, she cakes that. I wonder if she's ever heard of using like a pin to separate her eyelashes after she cakes all that freaking eyelash liner on.
I guess it's just the culture she's in. All the women look like that. I guess I don't know.
What, scary? Like transvestites?
I don't know.
She looks like the next top model.
DVDs this week.
Did you see on Next Top Model how the one girl kept introducing herself to everyone, like, I am the next top model?
No.
And then she ended up getting eliminated at the end, and she collapses. She's like, oh, I thought I was going to win.
Yeah.
There were so many moments that just made me groan out. I couldn't even believe I was watching it. Like, Tyra showed up in, like, this, they did, like, a sci-fi thing where she showed up like she was a robot. Oh, so bad. That show is really disastrously awful. All right, DVDs for Tuesday, September 9th, 2008.
I didn't know that!
Starting out with Baby Mama, the Amy Poehler, Tina Fey movie.
Ah, yes.
Don't really care. Yeah, I know a lot of people have a thing for Tina Fey. I think she's a funny lady, but that's about it.
I think she's funny. She's obviously a good writer.
She's not bad. I enjoy 30 Rock.
But I don't think she wrote this movie, so...
No, it was written by Michael McCullers, who I believe is one of... he co-writ a bunch of things with... or co-wrote a bunch of things with... Co-writ.
He was a Saturday Night Live
Mike
writer.
Myers.
Ah, yeah. That's a good endorsement there, so...
Yeah, exactly. Next thing I'm thinking about getting just for the set, it's cool. It's the Big Lebowski 10th Anniversary Limited Edition, and it's the bowling ball.
Ah, cool. With the,
yeah. And it's
where's
got...
Where's your sense of humor? Back in rehab.
Oh, my God.
Oh. It's got some cool features on it that are new. The Dude Abides, the Lebowski 10 years later.
You know, they have that at Fry's on HD DVD for really cheap. Should I get it?
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah, it looks great.
Sweet.
And it's nice to see it uncensored. Because it's like every time I see it on TV, it's like on USA or something, and it's just absolutely ridiculous.
Wait,
I love it.
What is that one scene?
This is what you do when you find a stranger in the Alps.
He's, you know, the part he goes. This is what happens when you f a man in the ass. Do you remember that part? And he's smashing the car, John Goodman. But the TV edit of it, he goes, "This is what happens when you find a man in the Alps. This is what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps." And he's smashing. It's like, what the hell does that mean?
It's on YouTube. It's so ridiculous. The TV version.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. You have to think how much fun it was for them to record those lines for the cable version.
Yeah.
They were probably laughing their asses off, and you know they made the lines.
As ridiculous
just
possible.
Because they could.
Yeah.
What you talking about, Will?
It's like on the Hot Fuzz one when they they have the edit. But there's one part where he says Jesus Christ, but he says peas and rice. I love that. Peas and rice!
All right, so this 10th anniversary limited edition, it's cool. It's the bowling ball. It's got all kinds of cool stuff. I might just get it just to put the HD DVD in it. Just to be like, oh, okay, I got it. Next DVD is Cannibal Terror.
No more cannibal stuff.
Yeah, I figured I should mention this one, too. It's kind of an 80s Euro trash thing. It's another one of those ones that people thought were real, so they had to edit it or ban it in certain places.
Ah, Cannibal! Steven, run!
Yeah, it's so crazy because it's in the early 80s and it's like
I don't remember.
They have like the sideburns and the comb overs.
Someone told me what Dr. Butcher is really called, or the alternate title, but I don't remember it. I think it was
the Cannibal Holocaust.
Yeah, it's like they said Dr. Butcher MD was called something else. I don't remember the MD on the end of it, but that's hilarious. Dr. Butcher, MD. I'm more a fan of Dr. Giggles myself.
Oof, Larry Drake.
I saw that in the theater with my dad.
Freaking Lenny.
Like, why the hell did we go to see this movie?
Why is Benny the retard killing
me? Dr. Giggles. Oh,
still, man. He was best in Darkman. You got to give him up for that. Wasn't he in the sequel, too?
Robert G. Durant. Yeah, he was in... was it Die, Darkman, Die? Yeah. Or no, he was in The Return of Durant.
All right, next DVD is Child's Play Anniversary Edition.
Awesome.
Audio commentary with Alex Vincent, Catherine Hicks, Chucky designer.
Yes, I want to talk to the Chucky designer.
Yes, exactly. Commentary with the producer and screenwriter. Scene-specific commentary.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it's even more special. And all the kinds of little stupid things about Chucky. I remember seeing that and just being, wow, this is really ridiculous.
You know what's awesome for Brad Dourif? He's the guy who did the voice to Chucky. He's a great actor who always takes on the creepy roles. Fantastic role as the town doctor in Deadwood. He's just one of those guys that you see in everything. And he's always good and he's always creepy. He just directed a movie that's going to premiere on HDNet Movies, Bill. And I can't remember the name of it, so it's pointless that I bring it up. But he... the money that he made on Chucky just by doing that voice is hilarious. Yeah, and he was able to, you know, make his independent films based on
that's cool. Yeah.
So you just keep making shitty movies, and you get paid.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but his face is never tied to it.
Yeah.
Next DVD. Speaking of the Rinse guy stealing parking meters, Cool Hand Luke, and it's deluxe edition. Also coming out on Blu-ray, which I'm gonna have to pick up. It's got a new digital transfer from restored film and audio.
That's awesome.
Commentary with historian, Newman biographer, Eric Lax.
They were showing
new documentary about it.
Lately, too, on HDNet Movies.
Yeah, and also on HDNet Movies, I watched that, they call it Mr. Foe here, but I guess it was released as Hallam Foe overseas in 2007, and I really enjoyed that.
Right, with Jamie Bell.
Yeah, Jamie Bell and Sophia Miles and Claire Forlani.
I'll definitely kind of check that out.
Yeah, it's a creepy movie.
Really?
Next DVD is The Forbidden Kingdom with Jet Li and Jackie Chan, directed by Rob Minkoff. Somehow that just doesn't fit.
Rob Minkoff, didn't he do Stuart Little?
Yeah.
The only reason I know that is because my daughter's seen it a lot. But you know what? I heard it's... If you like kung fu stuff, it's a lot of
Andy
fun.
Andy and his son Wesley enjoyed it, and it's going to be out on Blu-ray, so I'll definitely rent it.
It's got Will Stronghold from Sky High in it, so you know it's good.
Oh, it does?
Oh, yeah.
I love Sky High. I need to watch that again.
Screw the small judo man.
Did you ever buy that one on Blu-ray yet?
No, I did not.
That's a must-own on Blu-ray.
I'm waiting for Blu-ray to go under so I can pick up all the old Blu-rays.
Right. As Swanee on TV Prediction says.
Yeah.
Or was that Electronic House that said in 6 years Blu-ray?
Electronic House. It was some kind of Samsung guy who said, Blu-ray won't be around in 5 years. We'll have something else. And you never know if it will because, you know, I've heard people talk about the Ultra HD, which makes me want to punch somebody. It's like, dude, you know how long it took me to get HD? Don't talk about something else right now.
And then there's those like holographic discs that can store 500 million gigabytes.
Yeah, I don't even want to know about any of that shit right now, all right? I don't want it to be like Attack of the Clones where everyone's sitting around watching some guy stand on a table, talking to us.
You can buy all of Universal's movie on one disc.
call that, Bill? The hollow screen or whatever? You know, it's in all the Star Wars prequels.
The HoloNet.
Yeah, the Star Wars prequels, there's always somebody standing there with their hands on their hips talking about something, and everyone's standing there watching it. It's
in a circle in the Jedi Council.
Which is the equivalent of, in a movie, showing someone on a phone, like a group phone call, speakerphone.
It's George Lucas's own lazy storytelling.
How can we make a speakerphone phone call more interesting? Let's make a hologram of the guy talking.
His way of not splitting the screen and having two people on the phone on different sides of the screen.
Let's do a crazy net meeting.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, wow. Might as well give, like, Obi-Wan, like, a Bluetooth thing on his ear. That'd be more exciting, wouldn't it?
Oh, good Lord. Don't tempt him.
That's in the new Star Wars TV show. They're going to do that.
Next DVD is Heckler, a comedy documentary that explores the increasingly critical world we live in. But guess who made it? Jamie Kennedy.
Oh, I'm out.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, oh, that sounds very, I'm out.
Yeah.
Does he interview Kramer from Seinfeld about Heckler?
The best Heckler moment ever. Complete and total racist meltdown.
That's so crazy. Notice no one talks about that anymore. Let's bring it back.
All right, this next DVD is the one that has me scratching my head the most. The Uwe Boll film, House of the Dead, his director's cut, but his director's cut of the funny version.
It's on.
It says, you'll die laughing.
Oh, man. It's
so
not
he
gonna
went
be funny.
Back and re-edited the film so it's funny. Features all new dialogue, alternate takes, pop-up commentary, and animation from the original video game.
Hi, here's Uwe Boll.
That's not going to be good.
So there's an all-new audio commentary with Uwe Boll, and it's the funny version. I thought the original version was the funny version, yeah. But
this will be the sad version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next DVD is How the West Was Won, Ultimate Collector's Edition, but it's also going to be on Blu-ray, which I might just have to pick up just for the historical reasons.
Back to House of the Dead, my favorite part is still when there's two people trying to get into a window as the zombies are coming,
and
the guy's trying to pull the girl in the window, and you see her legs hanging out the window, and you see a zombie kind of look down, and he picks up an axe, and then the guy pulls her inside, and she doesn't have any legs, she's going, ah! So in that span of time, the zombie chopped her legs off.
Hacked all the way through her femur. And chopped both legs, yeah.
And
my favorite
later,
part of the movie is
that.
Whenever Lois Lane, pre-Smallville and Boob Job, goes skinny dipping.
Yeah, I've heard she has a nude scene in that, but I've never seen the first part of the movie. I guess it's
There's really no reason to, but it's just funny to see her pre-Boob Job.
You're such a little bitch, bro. Seriously.
Hey, calm down, man.
Dude,
it's okay.
Top Chef guy, calm down.
Yeah. You know, you don't have to get angry because she, you know, pre-boob job. It's okay.
Oh, shit!
God, I love that. All right, so this Ultimate Edition has historian commentary, bonus movie Cinerama adventure stuff.
Historian commentary?
Because this was shot in Cinerama, you know, where they'd use the three projectors on the extra wide
screen. We're not talking about House of the Dead anymore, right?
No, How the West Was Won. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
No, they didn't shoot the House of the Dead in Cinerama. That would be really expensive.
Hey, I'm a historian of ass.
What? Talking about you, loser.
I think you mentioned film historian or something.
Oh, okay, yeah. But bonus collectible booklets and all that. Now the DVD
not interested. Oh, sorry.
Speaking of Lois Lane, Smallville, the complete seventh season.
Waka waka.
It's been going on seven seasons. Huh?
Christ!
Yep. This is the last season that we watched with, what was it, Bizarro Clark in one episode?
Oh, yeah.
Only a little more bizarre.
Yeah, oh, good Lord.
It was just a bizarre season.
What's funny is it says there are cast creator commentaries on two key episodes.
Oh. You're like a pit bull on a pant leg.
Which one is it? Is it the one with Dean Cain, I hope?
Yeah, where he was speared by Mayan warriors.
I love that.
I have been speared by Mayan warriors.
Oh, okay. Thanks for letting us know that.
Son of a bitch.
And I think the other episode is the one where they, oh shit, does it matter?
No! It doesn't matter!
No, it really doesn't. the most fascinating featurette being Jimmy on Jimmy, bringing together Jimmy Olsen's past and present.
Is that like the Iceman on Iceman in the X-Men DVD, his brother?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I made that
Small
up.
Smallville Legends, remember how they would always pimp those episodes that you could only get on the phone?
Oh,
so
yeah.
So you get to see Kara and the Chronicles of Krypton.
I didn't have a Sprint phone, so I couldn't do it. So
yeah.
We were SOL, man.
I'll go put a pillow over your face.
So if you're a big fan of shitty TV shows, go ahead and pick up Season 7 of Smallville, and that's DVDs
Bill,
for this week.
You turned on Smallville.
I turned on it. Like all of a sudden, I turned on Smallville.
I love Smallville. How could you?
I turned on Smallville 6 years ago.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs.
I think the second key episode commentary is Tom Welling's directed episode.
Awesome.
Because it was so, so visionary.
I don't remember any of that last season.
All I remember is the horrible episode where Kara was in that she was like locked up at a gas station with Lois Lane.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's good.
Crazy waiter guy, and it just made absolutely no sense.
She was a waitress without a memory. That was good.
Yeah,
was it last season where they did the old Roaring Twenties episode or what?
Yes, they did.
Was that last season?
Yeah, it was.
Wow.
But all because right. It was the one where it began, where it ended off, where she was in China.
All right. Thanks for doing the cheese, Bill.
Thank you. Good night.
So exasperating.
Here, try the veal. And see.
All right, man. That was episode 136 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you for tuning in. If you'd like to go to nowhereinmulberry.com, check out our Mulberry Old School, and also send us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com.
There's a lot of people that aren't signed up with the forum, so go out there. It only takes a minute. Join the forums. That's where we post most of the news. Like, some people weren't aware that we didn't have a show last week. Well, if you're part of the forums, you would have known we didn't have a show last week.
Also, we love seeing your comments on the show, what you like.
Absolutely.
Whatever. You know?
Interact with us. We're on there every day at least once or twice.
I love getting emails from people. Send emails at nimpodcast@gmail.com. And all that kind of stuff. Thank you for, it's been 3 years of doing the show, and it's a lot of fun. And
don't stop donating. It's really been helping us lately. Thank you so much.
Yeah, the phone number is about to expire, and because of your donations, can pay for that for another year. And just showing their support, you wouldn't believe how much it just encourages us to keep going.
Yeah.
I mean, I love doing the show, but sometimes it's just like, really, in that first year, it is kind of like, sometimes it's like, is anybody listening? Or maybe I'm not doing it for that reason. I'm doing it for me, and, I pull myself out of the funk. But I swear, this has been a great year for the show, and I haven't felt like that in a long time. Just everyone's been very encouraging and stuff, and I appreciate that. And that's why we're going to do some special things on our special feed and that kind of thing. I think the last kind of like, we were really inspired to do the Cloverfield episode. Mm-hmm. You remember when we did something special? We need to do something like that again. I just need some kind of inspiration.
That's what I thought, not saying this episode in particular, but, it's our third year.
It's going to happen. We just need something to light that spark.
Yeah, there's going to be something that's going to go on. There hasn't been any spectacular movies.
Maybe after I watch
Righteous Kill,
I'll be really inspired. Yeah. What do you think, Bill?
I'm already inspired.
Righteous Kill.
We got to get inspired after watching the new Uwe Boll movie.
Righteous Kill.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Ah,
shit.
You know, in order for him to do that, that means he's sitting around with a lot of free time, doesn't it?
No shit.
I'm going to go back to my old movie and make it funny. It's like, dude.
It's like he did Postal and he's like, oh, all my movies are comedies. I didn't realize it.
It's like, you're a liar. You know what?
You're a liar.
Shit.
You're a liar, Uwe Boll.
You're a damn liar and you know it. But anyway, thanks, Eugene, for calling in. It was a disaster. And I dare you to call back in, Eugene.
No, please don't.
he doesn't have the nerve to.
We appreciate the effort, but...
yeah, they turned on us. I think it's time to leave. But seriously, next week we'll be talking about some more new shows, if any premiere. We'll definitely talk about Entourage and True Blood and stuff like that.
Kitchen Nightmares.
Yeah. Hopefully, Bill, you will have...
Survivor in HD.
Wow. You know, I've never watched Survivor. Should I now start watching it?
No. Well, if it's in HD, I gotta, you know, I want to check it out.
Show been around for
I haven't
this
watched
long.
It like since like the third season.
I don't know. It's in like its 12th or 13th season too.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And Bill, we'll want to know what you thought of
Righteous Kill
next week. So you got
to not seeing that shit.
You got to see it somehow.
No. No.
Why not?
I don't want to go see that garbage.
If you were invited to see
Righteous Kill,
would you go see it?
If I was invited, it was paid for?
Righteous Kill.
Yeah.
And
you got to sit next to Al Pacino and Robert De Niro, like right in the middle of them.
That might be a little creepy.
Guess who got that door?
Oh, my God!
Yeah, see what I mean?
Hoo-ha! Mulberry Bill! I take a flamethrower to this place!
No, you know what? That's one of those ones I'll wait for the DVD. I really have no interest in it.
Aww.
I love how they pimp it on the commercial, though, from the writer of Inside Man.
Like,
Inside Man was that good that...
It's like, holy shit, I love that movie! Oh, man, I'm going to buy my ticket right now!
And I loved how they stole the money back from the Nazi for the Jewish people. That was genius!
Dude, I have not seen the movie. Spoiler alert.
Oh, sorry.
Ah, shit!
Alright, that's it. See you guys next week. Laters.
Guess who got back door?
Oh, more of that.
Back door.
I got back door.
Someone needs to get her some Tux medicated pads.
Well, I'm off to get a Jimmy John's. Jack, what is it called?
Jimmy John's.
Jimmy John's sandwich. Now I'm going to bribe it. Bribe somebody with it.
Bribe somebody with it.
All right, later, Bill.
Later.
Now this is podcasting. Ah, shit!